Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, no dogs, no blacks, no Irish, a sign that apparently proliferated in the UK during the 1960s. But how common actually were they? The Epic Museum in Dublin is currently staging an exhibition on the complex and varied experiences of Irish people living in the UK and how that has changed with each generation. It was put together by the Irish in Britain organisation. Brian Dalton is their CEO. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Yeah. What kind of period of time does this exhibition cover?
Well, it covers 50 years. So just a little bit about us, Sean. So we're a national umbrella organisation and we were founded in 1973. And our role was really to support Irish organisations and as a vehicle for representation for Irish community interests. And for our 50th anniversary, we undertook this oral history project and heritage project as an opportunity to tell our own story in our own words. So it was it's one of the largest oral history exhibitions undertaken. There's been some really good work done in the space by Dr. Louise Ryan and Alton Cowley, who've looked at Irish women, Irish nurses in the NHS, Irish workers in the construction industry, etc. But because we have a national network and infrastructure, we wanted to cast our net a little bit wider. And we recruited 65 volunteer oral historians and trained them. And they went out with microphones and gathered histories in the local community, local organisations. So it was a huge undertaking.
Right. OK. And these, for the most part, would have been people who have lived in the UK for a very long time, I assume.
Absolutely. Or second and third generations. I mean, one of the things that the exhibition really champions is that Irishness is evolving and changing. And of course, you know, many of those interviewed in the exhibition were the children of first generation migrants. And I think that was really, really important. And certainly there's a fantastic testimony from Breda Power, who's the daughter of Billy Power, one of the Birmingham Six, who talks very eloquently and movingly about being the daughter of a first generation immigrant. And of course, the kind of whole political history around her dad's release.
Yeah, and I imagine not just around the time of the Birmingham bombings, but around the time of the IRA campaign in Britain, that must have been an extremely difficult time for Irish people.
Well, of course it would have been, yes. And of course you had the Prevention of Terrorism Act in 1974, which had a particular impact on Irish people. And it was a very, very difficult time. And, you know, you mentioned Birmingham there. I mean, the Birmingham bombings in 1973 tore apart that community, and it was hugely difficult. And there's a very moving testimony in our exhibition by Maurice Malone, who's the CEO of the Birmingham Irish Association. And he talks very candidly and emotionally about the impact that the bombings had on his family and the wider Irish community. I mean, the wonderful thing is, in 2018, it was the Birmingham Irish Association led a memorial sculpture outside of Birmingham and Newgate Station in memory of those killed in the bombing. So it was a fantastic piece of community restoration and reconciliation.
And for those first generation Irish people, or the sons and daughters of people who had emigrated, is there a sense of kind of not being one thing nor the other?
Well, I think one of the things that migrants do when they organize in another country, actually, identity and culture is very important. And of course, with the political, social and economic history between Britain and Ireland, it has particular resonance. I mean, if you look at my organization, Sean, I mean, many of my board and many of my team are Irish people, but Irish people that were born in Britain. So there is huge engagement from the second and third generations. And, you know, Irish cultural centres, cultural programming, dance, language, theatre, they're all thriving. And there's a huge appetite to connect with Irish heritage through cultural programming. So there's something really, really positive. And I think the exhibition really captures that.
Is it more difficult now to organise those kinds of things, given that, you know, there isn't a Kilburn anymore or a Cricklewood or areas where, you know, predominantly it's Irish people?
Yeah, but I think, you're right that the landscape is changing, but you have some amazing centres. You've got Hammersmith Irish Cultural Centre, you've got London Irish Centre, you've got really, really inclusive cultural centres in Birmingham and in Leeds and in Liverpool. And quite often they are working as welfare centres as well. So these are community assets serving the whole community. And of course, Irish culture, Irish theatre and Irish language travels well. And it is something hugely positive and people want to be part of it. I mean, if you look at the St. Patrick's Day parades in London, it was huge this year. And if you look at Birmingham, the same. And they attract people of all races, of all ages. So it is absolutely something very, very positive and people want to be part of.
And what I mentioned at the start there, those signs, it's been much disputed how many of the or how yes. widespread those signs were. In the interviews that were conducted for your exhibition, did people remember them?
Yes, they are referenced by quite a few of the interviewees and those who were part of the exhibition. I mean, it does. I mean, the story of the sign and their provenance is certainly a moot point. But the idea that there aren't any existing in the archives doesn't mean that they didn't exist. And absence of proof does not equal proof of absence, as they say. Mm. I mean, if anything, it shows the importance of oral history. So many instances of discrimination from the 1950s to today are described in the interviews. So, you know, whether or not these actual physical signs were common, Irish people in Britain from a range of backgrounds and in many sectors did suffer from discrimination in terms of jobs and housing. And, you know, there was a report by the Commission for Racial Equality in 1997, which details discrimination in the Irish community in Britain. So there is plenty of evidence there and the narrative is very strong around that.
Brian, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Brian Dalton is CEO of the Irish in Britain organisation.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.